If you have an appetite for fun, then the Disney California Adventure Food and Wine Festival is the place to be. March 2nd through April 12th, only at the Disneyland Resort. Enjoy deliciously fresh food, California wines, craft beers, specialty cocktails, live music, and more. All served up with a dash of Disney magic. Get more details at disneyland.com/foodandwine.
A podcast featuring Elvira Love and Phoenix LaFay, two out-of-the-room closet professional witches with over 70 years combined experience of making magic. This is a show on the LMC Radio Network. During each show, Elvira and Phoenix will help you create rituals, make spells, make potions, and much more besides. They'll spend time speaking about different goddesses from all over the world, paying attention to the ancient reverence of long-ago cultures and infusing it with a modern perspective. Elvira, Phoenix, take it away.
Happy Friday.
Well, hey, it's Friday again. It seems to roll around, you know, after 7 days it comes back again.
That's a good thing.
Yes, I know.
We could use more Fridays in the world.
Truly, truly. And with that statement, should I say, how was your week?
It's been a really insane week. In great ways, you know, I don't want to make it sound whiny, but it's just been a lot. My daughter started softball, and, you know, because she is 15 and doesn't drive, her commitment is my commitment.
Mm-hmm. No, that one.
She's never played before, though,
mm-hmm.
And she's doing really well. So it's pretty fun to see her get involved and do a team sport and be good at something,
mm-hmm.
and be enjoying it. And, you know, her first game was today, and I missed it because mm-hmm. I am busy on Fridays. So, but there'll be other games. So that has added to my schedule. We started another round of the Elements of Magic class
mm-hmm.
in Sebastopol on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
So for the next 6 weeks, I'll be teaching Tuesday nights. And today we went, funnily enough, to the gem fair.
But not locally, I gather.
No, so stone sales have been doing really well at the shop, and people are very excited that we're carrying stones, and we have lots of wonderful, beautiful things, and therefore we need more.
Mm-hmm.
And I like going to the gem fairs because it's fun, and I get to meet the people who actually are, like, getting the stones from
mm-hmm.
the sources,
mm-hmm.
right? But they only are in our area every 2 to 4 months,
uh-huh.
and I thought there was one this month, but there isn't one until next month, so we had to drive about an hour and a half. Not too bad.
No, not really.
To go to this gem show, so I spent my morning being a rock hound, which
uh-huh.
was perfect, because tonight we're talking about stone.
And that is true.
Right? It's what all worked out. And then immediately after our show tonight, I have to rush back to the shop, because we're having an event for a local artist who just put out a book of her photography. Her name is Tree Girl.
They're beautiful, beautiful photos.
Oh, my gosh. Did you see them in the shop today?
No.
You went to the shop today?
No, I went in, but I ran and ran out.
Oh, yeah.
So
we have some huge blown-up canvas prints of her artwork. But she takes photos of women nude in trees all over the world.
Wow.
And they are amazing and beautiful and vibrant.
Mm-hmm.
And So we're doing a showing of her art tonight, and she's going to do a reading from her new book.
Oh, good.
She has a whole chapter called The Goddess and the Green Man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and she's bringing Douglas fir tips to make hot tea with. And
oh, wow.
Acorn mush cookies. And
yeah, I heard something about this last week when I was working at the store on Saturday, and about the kinds of foods that she brings and the things that are very appropriate to what she actually talks about.
Yeah, and she's so fun. She's mm-hmm. just got a really vibrant, bubbly, interesting personality.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm just looking forward to it. It's going to be fun. And so it's one of those days.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
How about you, Mama?
Well, it's been a week. It's really tried my patience and tried my strength. And actually, it feels like it's harkened back to a death cycle that I had to go through to get to where I'm at. So
that's hard.
And it's very hard. And, but, you know, like everything else, I didn't die. I'm not dying.
Mm-hmm.
Thank goodness. Knock on wood, you know. I have a wood table I just knocked on. So, but it's been rather intense.
Yeah.
And so stones are good because they harken back to my childhood.
Yeah.
And, you know, out walking and dragging home rocks that my parents, of course, made me have to carry on my own because, you know, if you're going to want them, you carry them.
Yeah, that sounds like a familiar rule.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's get to it.
All right.
All right.
Stones.
Well,
you had some fascinating historical information.
Well, I actually looked at what's the difference between stones, gemstones, and rocks.
Yeah.
And, you know, if there was any. And in finding that information, obviously stones are this more generic point of reference to semi-precious and precious stones and things like that. But the gemstones was what fascinated me because back during the ancient times, there was a lot of beautiful stones and gemstones that they carved and did beautiful things in, and they were very precious. And even in a monetary value within the culture they were in. But when the Christian church decided that they were going to start making themselves more and more powerful, they had a council, and I apologize, it's Leo Dica in 355 AD. They said that stones and gemstones specifically, the beautiful carved ones, were evil, sinful, and venomous.
Venomous. Watch out for those rocks.
Yeah.
Venomous.
They're venomous. So they basically, you know, destroyed the... They didn't necessarily destroy the stones as they found them, the gemstones, but it became a sin to have it.
Mm-hmm.
And so the art of gem cutting and engraving became forgotten during the Middle Ages when all of this was taking major effect. And prior to that, you had the Gnostic and Antiquities time, and of course they did beautiful carvings. But then suddenly, guess what? The church realized and recognized that these beautiful jewels
mm-hmm.
had monetary value.
What do you know? I guess they probably weren't demonic anymore.
Nope, they changed their viewpoint on that. And so they became treasures, and they were sought after, but the church had to have them.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
So with that, and if you had them, they had to have three masses said over them and a benediction to make them okay.
Mm.
Yeah, so you see there was that kind of a process. And as we now know, down the road, jewelry and jewels and gemstones have all become part of our, you know, our way of life. And
yeah.
It represents sometimes status, sometimes fashion. But jewelers sort of took over from the church, and they decided that certain stones should be for certain zodiac signs
mm-hmm.
and certain months. And so those stones that were semi-precious, precious stones
mm-hmm.
were then made into jewelry so they could sell them.
So further commoditizing
exactly.
these things that come from the earth and
exactly.
are naturally occurring.
And so as we now see that, you know, what's become jewels are symbolic of spiritual truth and power. And so those particular things were sought after for knowledge, and they were put on clothes, and, you know, the concepts of finding them in caves and, you know, going into and coming out with knowledge, it had symbology.
Mm-hmm.
So it was both monetary and symbolic for gemstones.
Right.
And then you go to stones. And stones just have this wonderful kind of like down-home feel, at least to me.
This is just a rock.
It's a rock.
It's just a rock.
And, you know, rocks are just that. I mean, the rocks that I go out and I, as a kid, find, those are rocks.
Right.
But in those rocks, there are some that we then start to see the specifics, and those become the stones, and then they become defined in terms of the names. And then as we have gotten more into the spiritual and the healing capacities that in ancient times were also known, then they go ahead and they add that. And then you get basically these wonderful tools that we are using now for all kinds of meditation and healing and, you know, protection. And I'm going to turn it over to you now.
Oh,
yay.
I had a customer come into the shop a couple of days ago, actually, and she said that she was asking, there's my little shop on Main Street, Milk and Honey, and then across the street there's another shop where they sell these huge, amazing thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars of stones. And they're like, they have an amethyst cauldron.
Mm-hmm.
It's enormous.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I couldn't put my arms around it.
Mm-hmm.
It's so big. And the top's been cut off, and it has a hinge on it. So it's literally a cauldron, right? And it's like a $20,000 piece.
Oh, my God.
It's gorgeous.
Yes, it is. I've seen it.
So so they do a lot of big pieces like that across the street. We're not in the same caliber.
Mm-hmm. And blessed be to that.
Yeah, so you can get a dollar amethyst over at Milk and Honey, or you can go get the $20,000 amethyst across the street. But this customer came in, and she had been talking to the folks across the street, and they are they're rock hounds, but they are geologists.
Mm-hmm.
They don't necessarily look at the spiritual, vibrational, energetics.
Mm-hmm.
They're interested in the mineral compound,
right?
Which is just as interesting, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
But this customer said, "Well, I was asking the person across the street about, you know, why do stones work?" And she said, "It's just a placebo," and that makes me really sad.
Yes.
And then I said, "Well, sure. On some level, it could just be a placebo, right? Whatever. If it works, who cares why it works?"
Mm-hmm.
But my opinion, my very unscientific, witchy opinion, is we've talked about this before, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Everything on this planet vibrates, and it vibrates at its own specific, special little level, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if I have a crystal, a quartz crystal, or an amethyst, or a piece of malachite, or a piece of tektite or whatever, those stones vibrate slightly differently.
Mm-hmm.
So if I need specific healing, if I'm dealing with a wound of my heart, I need to bring that level of vibration up a little bit so that healing can happen. And if a rose quartz vibrates at a heart chakra frequency and I hold that rose quartz to my body, it's going to help my body. It's a law of familiars. It's a real law in science.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not making this shit up.
Mm-hmm.
But the things that vibrate will start to match each other's vibration. And most often, they match at a higher pitch, right? So why wouldn't stones work that way?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know this scientifically, but it makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so the customer left feeling a little bit better, which is really all I was worried about. But this is real. It's legit. It works.
Uh-huh.
And whether you believe in any of this vibrational stuff or not, whether you believe that stones have healing powers or not, placebos do work.
Yes, they do.
If you believe something is going to work, then it has a higher chance of being effective.
Right.
So, you know, your mileage may vary on what you think about using stones for medicine or stones for healing or stones for magic.
Mm-hmm.
But we're witches, right? So we're already talking about looking at the world differently.
Definitely. Definitely. And that is, you know, the part of what the ancients saw.
Yeah.
Is they saw the world differently.
Right.
And with the concepts that stones and rocks had life.
Right.
And that life became part of their spiritual belief system.
Right.
So they honored them. They were representations. They were grandmothers and grandfathers.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Okay, I have another story.
Oh, good.
Okay. I didn't even know this was going to come up. So I may have mentioned on the show before, my ex-husband's a Native American.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we were together, I was permitted to attend a lot of ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
I was considered honorary by
mm-hmm.
his family.
Mm-hmm.
So I was privy to a lot of things that most white folks just aren't. And I am so super grateful and appreciative of those opportunities when I had them, right? They were transformative experiences for me.
Mm-hmm.
Once, me and my ex-husband and my former mother-in-law were out shopping, and we went to a little occult shop,
mm-hmm.
and they had a beautiful window display, you know, with lots of witchy things, cauldrons, little fairy things,
mm-hmm.
and they had this huge lava stone in the window on display,
mm-hmm.
and my mother-in-law just about had a cow right there in the store. She was like, so in their tradition, they use lava stones in the sweat lodge.
Uh-huh.
They are called grandfathers, and they have spirit in
uh-huh.
them. They are alive. They are our grandfathers, and they have to be sweat.
Uh-huh.
This is what I was taught. They have to be taken into the lodge. They have to be heated. They have to be sweat. That is their purpose
uh-huh.
because they have lessons to teach us, and the only way we can receive their wisdom is through the sweat,
uh-huh.
right? However, you can't buy the lava stones, because that would be making a commodity of the grandfather.
Right.
So my mother-in-law is explaining all of this to the shop owner, and this was a very lovely, new-age, older white lady, and she was trying very hard to be helpful, and, you know, she was like, well, I could sell it to you, and my mother-in-law was like, no, you don't understand. This is a living being. You can't sell a living
mm-hmm.
being.
Mm-hmm.
She was getting very passionate. Finally, the woman, and this took a while, finally, the woman said, you know what? I can tell that this is super important to you. Here. And gave it to her.
Oh, my goodness.
And then we ended up sweating with that stone
mm-hmm.
the next weekend.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I will never, because I was, part of me was like, yeah, give us the grandfather. And part of me was like mortified, like, oh, geez. Because you can buy lava stones at any quarry.
Yeah.
Especially where we live, because there are ancient volcanoes around
us. Exactly.
But, yeah. So no jokes.
Mm-hmm.
For certain traditions, stones they have spirit and they have to be treated with a certain level of respect.
Exactly. The Hawaiians have the same process.
Do they sweat with rock?
I don't know if they do the sweats, but I know that they have, you know, when they build their temples, and the
mm-hmm.
temples are platforms. They do the stone platform, and then of course the bamboo, building is natural elements, and it will deteriorate if, you know, of course, it's not kept up. And when I got married to my last husband, we got married in a sacred temple that the kahuna that I trained with had rebuilt and had worked with re-sanctifying it.
Neat.
And, you know, but they're stones, and they were very, very specific about the way they go and how they are placed. And
right.
they, you know, it's talking to them and carrying them to it. And
mm-hmm.
there's a whole process.
Yeah.
And it was very interesting that was part of what I got to experience in a very profound way. But I also understood the relevance of the honor to these rocks.
I had some what I can only describe as psychedelic experiences in the sweat lodge, and you know, it's pitch black in there, and the only thing you can see is the dim glow that's coming from these stones that
uh-huh.
are so hot they will burn you if you touch
uh-huh.
them.
Uh-huh.
You know, that have been sitting in a fire all day.
Right.
They are alive.
Uh-huh.
I heard them singing,
uh-huh.
heard them speaking
uh-huh.
to me. I saw faces,
uh-huh.
all kinds of things. And I, you know, yes, we're witchy. Yes, we are on a fringe of
uh-huh.
what the average American might, we would be considered weird.
Uh-huh.
I get that.
Uh-huh.
But I don't tend to I don't see things very often. I don't hear voices very often.
Right.
So when something does come through, I pay attention.
Exactly.
Yeah. And
exactly.
There is something. There is spirit in the earth.
There is, and the relevancy of that is that it wasn't stone, but we have a bird feeder at Lucky Mojo that they hang out. And there was this little finch that was coming and trying to feed, but I kept having to come by to go to the church. And so at one point I turned around, and you could tell this bird was very annoyed at me, and I was disturbing, and he fluttered off, and then when I came back around again, I found him again, and he kind of stayed a little longer, and you could see it was like, do you mind? And so I said, I really apologize, and I will not walk this way for a while. And one of my coworkers said, who are you talking to? And I looked at her, and I said, the bird. But it was so obvious there was this communication, and I was like, okay, well, I am part of the fringe.
That's right.
So with that, I guess we can also talk about what stones in ancient times, what they meant to people.
Yeah.
For instance, and to this day, we have Mecca.
Yeah.
That particular stone, which is actually a meteorite, a black meteorite, that fell from the sky.
Right.
And it's basically, and I apologize, Ka-ba is the name of it. And that is worshipped. It is considered alive. It is the stone, the center of their whole spiritual world.
Right.
And that's just one of the more prominent ones. Now we had ones that were the Omphalos,
right,
which was in the Greek the navel. That was the navel of the earth,
right,
and it was worshipped.
Right. And there is a stone by that same name, which you said Omphalos, and I've been saying
Omphalos.
I don't know how it's actually. But there is a stone in Glastonbury.
Yeah.
That is the same.
Mm-hmm.
It is the same principle. It is the navel. It's the navel of the Tor.
Of the Tor.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, that takes you to Lea Fal, which is the stone that cries out when the rightful king or queen sits on the throne.
Right.
And, of course, they have another one. They call it the Stone of Scone for the English.
Mm.
And I think, you know, I know that the English stole the one from Ireland, but, again, we can go into that another time, but the idea being is that stone had aliveness. It was the one that anchored the king or queenship,
right.
And they worshipped it as that. They, you know, things. And of course, what do we have? The Philosopher's Stone, which is an alchemical reference point, but it is the balance of the male and the female together, unity.
Right.
Stone circles.
Yes.
Stonehenge, Callanish.
Which we still don't understand.
Of course.
Yeah.
I mean, I literally made my husband walk the entire Avebury stone circle.
Nice.
These huge, huge stones. And, of course, they're not all there because many of them have been broken and whatever.
Yeah. But it is massive.
It is massive.
The whole town sits inside
of it. Yeah. And I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
So we were walking all the way around, and, I mean, I was, like, leading and touching, and it was like, I felt so like I am home. Thank you. This is where I belong. And Stonehenge, you couldn't get too close to.
Yeah. But you can if you pay more in advance.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, see, we
for
didn't.
£45.
Oh, wow.
You can go inside the stone circle for an hour. So the next time I go to the UK, that's on my bucket.
There you go. I did Callanish. Callanish is on the Isle of Harris and Lewis. And we walked it, we sat with the center stone and meditated. It was some one of those astrological alignments that was going to happen with, like, mucho trines and stellar things, and we deliberately planned this. This is what we were going to do. It was part of our delayed honeymoon. And I was going, because to me, these were alive.
Yeah.
And, you know, most of us, we don't have those kinds of things
in this country.
They did have some down in, I believe, like, Missouri. They have large mounds that
serpent
were part of the serpent mounds. And so they did still have the way they did honor.
Unfortunately, we as Americans don't honor the ancient history of the land we live on. We just bowl it over and build
on
top of it. So there, no doubt there is more that we could have seen or connected or still be having access to that the Native Americans built and created and used as places of
right.
stuff or religious or what have you, but because we don't value that in this country. And in Europe, if they find a piece of cracked pottery when they're building something, everything comes to a halt. Nothing else continues until they finish figuring out what that thing is,
right,
and if it has historical significance,
mm-hmm.
because they care about the history of the land that they live on.
Because they've lived on it a long time.
Right.
And our culture started by running away from one place to
right.
another and not caring where we were
well,
at.
You know, if you move into a new house, you don't care about what the people were doing there before
right.
you. So, you know, whatever, rip that gazebo out, who cares?
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything.
Right.
But obviously,
I digress.
Why? We always do that. We come up with different things.
You can get me on a soapbox really easy.
Oh, I love it. But I will tell you the thing that I did find out in
yeah.
some of the history of what stones meant to the ancients
yes.
was about the fact that on the Ark, there was there were, and it's part of the written tradition, there were two stone slabs. One
mm-hmm.
represented the goddess and one represented the god.
Interesting.
And I thought that was fascinating.
Yeah.
Along with the fact that the Greek flood myth mm-hmm. had Deucalion, or I got Pelasa, and his wife
mm.
were taught by the goddess mother
yeah.
to raise the children they needed from the stones. So technically, we come from stones.
Neat.
Yeah, I think that's kind of nice.
Yeah.
So
I read somewhere in research that the ancient system
mm-hmm.
was of working with stones for healing purposes
mm-hmm.
was based on the principles of similarities relating to color.
Yes.
Right. So if you needed, if the healing system believed that yellow was good for having the right bile and
mm-hmm.
you know, that whole
mm-hmm.
system,
mm-hmm.
then you would use a yellow stone. You would wear it or hold it to your body where
mm-hmm.
you were feeling the malady,
mm-hmm.
and that color would help to shift what
Ooh.
Was going on with you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's how we look at stones now. I'm actually not sure.
Well, you know, here's the thing. We use colors.
Yeah.
And our colors, again, the systems for colors are as varied as the cultures and, you know, that process. But we've begun in our newer version of this process
mm-hmm.
To follow colors and stones and the chakras,
right.
the energy platforms of the body in terms of healing, which we will get to probably after the break.
Yeah.
But it's basically used from that point of reference. And I think that in terms of where they wound up going is some of the things that they did was like kidney stones.
Right.
They talked about the evil vapors calcifying.
Right.
So
right,
there was
right.
a certain part of that that kind of went a little overboard.
Right. Well, and that is the one stone that the human body makes.
Mm-hmm.
That you can actually get access to without surgery, right?
Right.
The ancient peoples may not have known about gallstones because you can't get those out without chopping into your body.
Right.
But they would have known about kidney stones because you pee them out.
Right. Exactly.
How interesting.
Yeah. So there is a connection.
Yeah.
So, you know, in terms of that, I thought, you know, there's a lot. I mean, for instance, Venus's hair is basically for love,
mm-hmm.
and it's a stone that's basically rutilated quartz.
Oh, right.
You know, and I thought, well, that's interesting.
Right.
And white stones in Ireland specifically, but they were considered any white stone
yeah.
was good for helping lactating mothers.
Right. And in across the Celtic world,
mm-hmm.
if you found a holy stone, right,
mm-hmm.
a H-O-L, E-Y. It could be, they were often at the beach because,
right.
you know, the ocean breaking
mm-hmm.
them apart.
Mm-hmm.
But any type of stone you would find with a hole in the middle of it, if you peered through that hole, you
mm-hmm.
could see into the other realm.
Exactly.
You could see into fairy or what have you. So those are considered magical objects. It was either very lucky to have one or you were a witch and just be careful because they were going to come looking for you.
Exactly. Ta-da! They usually have that.
Depending on what year we're talking about.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and of course, we have the pillars which represent the masculine energy and, you know, there's the caves that represent the feminine energy.
Right.
So we have a lot of things about stones and stone formations and things like that. And I know the Scots, the bones of the ancestors are the rocks and the mountains.
Right.
And they
talk
about that. And it's like I went,
Norse tradition, the way the world is created, is a giant is chopped into pieces and thrown about. And that's how it's the bones of this giant, which is a similar
same story.
And even Stonehenge, those are called the giants. The
exactly.
There.
Exactly.
And what's fascinating to me about Stonehenge, you know, besides the fact that we don't know what the hell they were doing there, but those stones are actually Priscilla blue stones, which come from Wales, hundreds of miles away.
Right.
So they had to cut these huge slabs out of the mountainside and drag them across the landscape using very, very primitive means to get them to where the plains of Salisbury, where they put, then had to lift them up.
It's like
how
a pyramid.
Did they do this?
Yes.
It's amazing. And
I know.
Clearly something about that stone was important, needed to be used, because they could have used other things
that were floating around that they could find. So,
fascinating.
So, at this point,
we have a few more minutes.
We have a few more minutes. So, I will, you know, one of the things I found really interesting is they started talking about these different kinds of stones, what they are, fossils. Like, you know, the thunderbolts basically are belemnite, and they're basically internal guards of fossils. They're the internal parts of a fossil.
Weird.
And they're, you know, but they have this belonging to the little people, as they call them.
Oh, is that like ammonites too? These
Exactly, the ammonites. And then Kit Kat stones are conical black stones that possess healing powers, and they look basically like a cone.
Yeah.
And so they're more of a fossil.
Right. And that's the same with amber, which isn't a stone, but we treat it like a stone, right?
Right.
It's sap, it's resin, that's hardened. And if you've seen any of the Jurassic Park movies, you know that that's how they made dinosaurs.
There you go. There you go. So, and be careful of those.
Watch out for dinosaurs. No, they're dangerous.
Yeah. So there were, you know, different ones, shepherd's crowns, screw stones, star stones. You know, all of these are fossils, but they were all part of different aspects of finding them and using them in a spiritual way and mostly for healing, believe it or not.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of what I was finding in my research, it connects stones to healing. And really, from a pagan perspective, from our modern witchiness, that's mostly what we're using stones for, right?
Exactly.
We use them for helping bring us back into balance, helping us be grounded, helping us heal from something or another.
And drawing things to us.
Yeah. Or keeping us protected.
There you go.
Right? So,
pull or push.
Yeah, pretty much. It's all energy and vibration.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, but, you know, so that was very interesting about that. And the holy stones, of course, are fascinating. I mean, actually, on the stone altar that I made, I did a grid, a spiral grid with Boji stones, yin yang, and the female slab for bringing love to you and a passion and a balance. But then I also have a holy stone that I found that I chose to just sort of sit in the middle of just there. And then I did a grid for, which is the seed of life, for drawing money. So it's basically set up, and we'll talk about grids later. But I was fascinated because when I went looking, I found all these different things that I have had, and some of them I knew, and then I had an expert in helping me find out what they really were. I wasn't totally sure because I had an on-premises, on-site stone expert.
Nice.
So, but
I wanted to mention a lot of the books out there that you find about stones. You find a lot of conflicting information. It is a good idea if you are looking to start using more stones in your magic or using stones for any purpose to do research and cross-reference. Check more than one source. The Love is in the Earth is a really great resource. It's highly recommended by most people who are into stones. And the other one that I really like that's easy to use and it's small
Because you could, you know, knock someone out with Love Is in the Earth.
Oh, I know that
one. There's a couple of appendixes for it now, too.
Appendixes, yes.
But the Crystal Bible is also a really good one. Yeah, my copy is very worn and well-loved.
Well-loved. Well, I think we're, how close are we to our break?
I think it's just about time.
Just about time.
Take a quick break and we'll be back.
We'll be back.
You're listening to The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, a radio podcast on the LMC Radio Network. Stay tuned, as more magic is coming your way right after these messages.
LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali, Sundays 3 to 4:30, Candelo's Corner with Candelo Camisa and Michael Carell, Mondays 5 to 7, The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, Tuesdays 5 to 6, In the Streets with Beverly Smith, Tuesdays 6 to 7, Bit of Box with Madame Naya and Jaya Danya, Wednesdays 6 to 7, The Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield, Thursdays 6 to 7:30, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Phoenix LaFay, Fridays 6 to 7, and Liquid Libations with Andrea Western, Saturdays 5 to 7. All time specific, add 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com.
So that was really quick. And we're back.
And we're back.
Yes.
So when we return from our break is when I feel the most like I'm on the, like I'm a radio announcer. And we're back. That we were just listening to the hits here on 97.3 radio, blah, blah, blah.
I know. It's anyway. Really. It's funny because you're talking about books. I went back, and I kid you not, I started looking at all my crystal books. Now, the ones you gave are, again, everything has gone up in research and ways of describing things and different aspects that have shifted. The simple ones that, you know, crystal power.
Yeah.
Some of these that I just started looking at and I realized, oh, my goodness, how many books that I have, because, of course, at one time I had a store and acquired a lot, but I've been collecting.
Yeah.
And how many of them, you know, I look at them and I go, boy, we've gone beyond that, or this is really neat. I forgot how neat it was.
Yeah.
So
that's funny. It's the same experience. Like, I'm going to search on this one topic, and you pull up something on Wikipedia, and it gives you all this information, and then you go to the next website down, and it's basically the exact wording from Wikipedia.
Exactly.
Like, okay,
exactly.
How many websites have just copied Wikipedia?
Right, right. And it's funny because I will, when we research, I will go on the web.
Oh, yeah.
I will, you know, peruse and look. And depending on what it is, it has either high value or, like what you're finding, cut and paste kind of things.
The same regurgitation.
Yeah. So, okay, so healing and, let's go to how to get a stone.
Oh, okay. How to get a stone. Go outside. Pick one up. No.
Well, that's true.
I mean, I suppose if we want to get really step-by-step here, there's two different ways you could look at it. The first way is do your research. Like, what is it you're looking for? What do you want to use some stone medicine for? Do some research, and then go out and find that stone by going to a rock shop or searching on the internet or what have you. Go to a gem fair.
Right.
Or you can do that the reverse way and go to a gem fair or a rock shop, because you would need to do this in person. You couldn't do this online. And start picking things up.
Yeah.
And see what you're drawn to and pick things up. And then you have to decide, after you've picked something up, is this what I'm looking for? And there's lots of ways that I've heard this described, but, you know, you can ask the stone, are we meant, are you mine, are we going to do this, you know, and see what kind of feeling you get.
Right.
If you get a yes or a no feeling, and maybe it's, yes, it's this stone, but no, it's not this specific rock. So pick up another one from the bowl or the tray or the display, you know, and this can take some time. You can also do muscle testing, which is kind of hard to describe without being able to
visual.
But basically you hold it in your hand and then you push down. And if you get resistance, then it's not for you.
if you are able to easily push down on your hand that's holding it, then it is for you, right? So you can also use a pendulum to divide, douse, yes or no, are we going to hang out?
Right.
Or no, right? Mm-hmm. But I like the simplicity of just like holding it and saying, does this feel right to me, yes or no?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also a Taurus and very earthy, so it's easier for me to have conversations with stones than for other folks, I think.
But I think what you'll find, and I've been in, when I had my store, I've been around all the stores now when I'm at Milk and Honey, I watch people, and they kind of wander, and then they keep going back to one, or they start playing with one little bowl, and then they'll start having little piles that they walk around with because they've been talking. They didn't necessarily have a conscious knowledge.
Right.
That they were looking for this, that used it for this, that did it for that.
What I think is the coolest, and this happens every day, and it happens to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll get a new ring in the store or a new thing of stones that I've not carried before, and I just love it. Like with a specific stone ring, we got this Eudialyte stone, and I just loved it. And I couldn't stop wearing the ring. I would wear it every time I came into the store. And then I decided, maybe I should look up the properties of this stone. And it was exactly what I needed at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens for people every day. They're like, oh, I came in for rose quartz, but I picked up this tektite. Can you tell me what it is?
Mm-hmm.
And then we start researching together, and their minds are blown.
Right.
Because that was exactly what they needed, and their spirit drew them to it.
Mm-hmm. And the stone was going, yoo-hoo.
Yeah.
Wink, wink.
Exactly.
So picking stones up that's one of the reasons why I love online. If you're looking for specific things you really want, then you know it. But when it comes to the other side, I find I need to be with the stones.
You got to touch them.
You got to touch them.
And even be wary even online because stone trade is a huge business.
It is.
And I have unfortunately discovered the hard way that you can buy something even face to face with someone and they'll tell you, oh no, this is natural lapis. I promise this happened to me. And then you bring it home and you wear it and it turns your neck blue because it's been dyed.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you do have to be careful and you do want to know who you're dealing with because people, especially online when you can't see it and feel it.
Right. But even in gem shows, I know that when I go, I'm asking, is this dyed? And the one thing I have to say about the vendors at the gem shows I've been to here in San Rosa or San Rafael, which is the farthest I go, is they are very honest.
Yeah.
They will tell you it's dyed.
Yeah.
You know, and then you get a feel for it. You start looking at it, and it has a certain... It's like vibrant. It's like deep or vibrant. You can feel. You can look at it and start knowing it's dyed.
Yeah.
But it's for novice people. You really do have to really be careful.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Definitely. So once you've picked up a stone and it's sort of you talk to it and you say this is it, what do you do with it?
Well, then you buy it.
Don't
shoplift.
not a.
Especially from a metaphysical, magical, occult store. That's extra bad point.
Extra bad. Juju.
So then you want to cleanse it, right? Just like clothes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, would you buy a bathing suit and take it home and immediately strip down and put it on your naked body? Probably not.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I would wash it first.
Mm-hmm.
So just like with clothing, you want to wash it. And that can be done in lots of ways.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on the stone, you need to do your research because certain stones should not be washed certain ways.
Right.
Right? For example, one of the ways to cleanse a stone is to put it in a bowl of salt water.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't want to do that with, like, hematite, for example, because it will rust.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to know about these kind of things before you decide to dunk your entire stone collection.
And it can be, salt can also be corrosive.
Yep.
Like you said, it can dissolve it.
Exactly.
Selenite dissolves in salt water.
Right.
So there is that to be very cautious of. And I think when looking at some of these books, the original things were stick it in salt water. It was just like a wholesale thing.
Right.
And then I'm sure people found their beautiful stones destroyed.
Wake up in the morning and your selenite's gone.
It's gone. There it is. Selenite water. That's another, you know, part we will talk about with regards to some things in the water. But So you found which one you can use, which element or which process, and
so you can use salt water. You can use just salt. You can put it in the windowsill and let it be basked in the glow of the sun or the glow of the moon, right? And you may want to use a specific moon phase or an eclipse or some other really magical celestial moment to add a little bit of that energy into the stone, right? Uh-huh. Or you can smoke it, like smudge it, right? Use some Palo Santo or sage to cleanse it. We're talking about an energetic,
right,
spiritual cleanse of the stone.
Right. Okay, now we've cleansed our stone. We've got it in.
So now, again, you need to know what you're working with, right? So a quartz crystal, you can charge it if you want. You can charge it so that it becomes almost like a battery for anything. It could be a healing attractant. It could be a money attractant. It could be a love attractant, anything. So if you want to use a stone charged for that purpose, then you would start working on that. Otherwise, you just start using it, and you can wear it on your body. You can put it in a little pouch and around your neck. You can put it on an altar, a windowsill, above your front door if you're using it as a guardian. So, you know, then once it's clean and ready to go, you start using it. And again, depending on its purpose, you may want to keep it with you all the time. Kind of like a mojo bag.
Hey, you know, if anyone ever, well, when you go through the NSA screenings, that's one of those. It's like, you know, what's this? A little baggie around your neck with what? And what are these little bags in your purse? You know, they really...
It's just salt, I promise.
It's just salt. It's just a rock, you know. But, and half the time, that's kind of a humorous point of reference with all of us. In terms of
Hawaii.
Oh, I took the live audience that we have suggested I tell a story about when I went to Hawaii. Two of my soul sisters and I went to Hawaii. We get off the plane and we are basically, you know, we go through. They don't do customs through, but when you leave, no, actually they did it when we came in.
They want to make sure you're not bringing
on the way out.
In.
They don't like you to bring things in. But on the way out, I had my crystal ball, and it was this huge sphere.
Yeah.
And I had a wood bowl around one side, and I couldn't find another wood bowl that matched it, so I had this silver bowl on the other. So when it went through the X-ray, it looked like a bomb. So the woman made me open it up, and she made me say, "What's it for?" And I looked at her, and I go, "I'm a witch." Nice. And she went, "Oh,
okay, weirdo.
Okay, fine." You know, and but it was the way she looked at it and asked me, and I, you know, and of course in the Hawaiian tradition, there are the witches, as they are all over the place, not bad or good, depending. But it looked like a bomb.
And
so traveling with your stones, crystals, bowl, you know, whatever it is, be aware now more than ever that they are going to seriously look at things.
Yeah, you got to explain that.
Yeah. So with that little digression, we have, now we have our stone, we've been using it, we've got it. What else can we do with it? I know you were talking about guardians.
Right, so you can place them in specific parts of your house as a guardian, a protector, a force field type energy. You can literally bury them in your front and backyard as guardians, protectors. You can, again, wear them. You can make elixirs, essences. Ooh, that was
a good one. But you have to be careful.
Yes, absolutely.
There are some that are poisonous, and you do not put them in water and distill anything from them.
Right, right. So an elixir, a gem elixir, is when you literally put a rock in a bottle of water and you let the water absorb the vibrational healing or what have you energy of that stone, and then you drink the water, and you're drinking in the essence of that energetic, right? As Elvira mentioned, and we'll give you a little laundry list of the most toxic ones to be wary of. Because there's also this new trend of the yoni stones of inserting.
Ah, please talk about that.
Yeah, so it's a yoni stone or a yoni egg, and it is the intention is that it helps you to build your Kegel muscle, your PVC pelvic floor, nice and tight, so you know you're not peeing your pants when you laugh and things like that, which tends to happen to us as we get older,
right?
Or have had babies or whatever. So if you use a yoni egg, you have to hold it in there, and it's a exercise for your lady bits. So they've become pretty mainstream, and because rocks are pretty, and because now it's become mainstream, now people are putting all kinds of things up inside of them. And again, as Elvira mentioned, many stones are toxic, and it's not just if you put them in your mouth, but if you put them in your vagina, they're just as toxic.
Yep, body assimilates the various little molecules that they let off,
right?
Different things.
So check before you drink or
insert
anything. And it's also true, they make sexual toys that are made from different stones as well. So again, be aware of what you're putting in and on your body.
Exactly.
And then the other way you can use stones is like on a grid. You want to talk about grids?
Sure. Now, grids are basically different patterns that you will set stones on. And for instance, you have the circle, you have the Vesica Pisces, and I'm getting this actually from the book Crystal Grids by Harry M. Mason and Brittany Petrovsky. And it really is very good. And it talks about selecting the grid for what you want. Of course, I don't want to go into a myriad of them, but they have like the ones I find I've been dealing with people doing triangles, and it's fascinating because, you know, they talk about the triangle, and then you have the flower of life or the seed of life.
I have a flower of life grid.
Yeah. And the Borean rings, which are like Vesica Pisces together, and, you know, pentagrams and spirals and hexagrams and the Star of David. The thing I found fascinating is you can have a triangle. You can have upwards or downwards. Upwards is when you want to send something away or lift up the downward-facing triangle as you're standing, you know, looking at the table as you're putting it together. It's to pull it to you.
Yeah.
But then you put them together, and it's the Star of David.
Yeah.
And then you take those two triangles and pull them apart so that their bases are touching each other, and that's a diamond. And that has another set of meanings to place them. So you pick stones, like, for instance, I chose to work with one is money and one is love. And you pick the stones either in the colors or the vibration of what they mean to you in terms of the listing you feel comfortable using, and you place them in a specific way. Now, these people talk about drawing stones and grounding stones, and, you know, so they have specific patterns. I have, you know, I love it. But I'm probably Sagittarius as I am. I kind of wing it. And I go there and I go, this is what I feel. So I put them down and see how they feel to me and work with it because I'm much more in that. And that's what gridding is in a simplistic way.
Right. You can get super complicated.
Oh, definitely.
I have a flower of life grid that I keep on the my workspace, my witchy hoodoo workspace. And I, depending on what I'm doing, because hoodoo work that I get clients that pay me to do the work, right, it comes in waves, you know, so it's like oddly everything right now is about money, or everything right now is about love, or everything right now is about healing. And so I follow the pattern, and then I set up my grid to sort of amplify the work that is mostly happening on my altar, because there's always a myriad of things.
Yeah, there's always little fidgets.
I quickly want to just go over the most poisonous.
Yes, please do.
Toxic stones. So here's a list of just about a dozen. There are others that are not on this list, but these are the ones to really pay attention to. Turquoise is contains copper, so that is toxic. Calcite will dissolve. Angelite contains lead. Chrysocolla is also copper. Hematite will rust. Nothing. Don't put something inside of you that's going to rust. Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
Ugh.
Calcifrite sulfur.
Mm-hmm.
Galena, lead. Malachite is also copper. Selenite will also dissolve. Rhodochrosite is lead. This one's great. Pyrite, under the right circumstances, can convert to sulfuric acid.
Oops.
Pyrite, it's full of gold.
Yes.
Fun. Lazurite is a sulfur. Orpiment, which I have not ever heard of, but whatever, is arsenic.
Oh.
And then certain lapis lazuli stones, some of them have high contents of pyrite, which, as we've already heard, is no good.
Mm-hmm.
Some not so much, so it's probably not something to be overly worried about. But jade is safe for insertion, and the traditional jade egg, it's called a jade egg. The traditional yoni egg is made from jade. But just be careful. Just be careful.
Really, because this is, again, you have things you're putting in your body, whether it's a liquid formatted from stones or any of that, and, you know, we are always so curious. We are such a curious breed, and we do all kinds of interesting things. So just give us a chance to give you warnings.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we can do that. And, of course, you know, the fact that we have so many things that are available to us. Now, what is our topic for next week?
Next week we are talking about the spring equinox.
Ooh.
And a little bit about the Germanic goddess Eöster.
So, I guess with that,
I want to say one more thing about stones before we say goodbye. Brocks. Brocks are my favorite way of using stones. Brocks are the rocks you wear in your bra. So this might not qualify for everyone. Not everyone wears a bra. However, if you do wear a bra and you want to work with stones, consider finding the stone you want to work with and putting it in your bra every day and seeing how that works for you. It's my favorite.
It really is. I usually find it in a bag because I don't have as much as some women.
The
bra's there, kind of flopping in.
Anywho, so yes, next week, the spring, and we'll have more daylight because we're setting the clocks forward.
I know. Is that not frightening? Oh,
yay,
my gosh.
So
it'll be great. We'll be talking probably while it's light out. So enjoy.
It's going to be magical.
I know. And you have a wonderful time tonight.
Thank you. And you have a much improved weekend.
And take care, everyone. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to The Witch, The Priestess, and The Cauldron, a radio podcast on the LMC Radio Network. Our podcast airs live every Friday at 6 p.m. Pacific and will be available for download. Questions or comments on this show or ideas for upcoming shows can be sent to our website, and that's at www.witchpriestesscauldron.com. Again, that's witchpriestesscauldron.com. On behalf of Elvira, Phoenix, Alan, and myself, Gwion Raven, a big merry meet and merry part and merry meet again. Blessed be.
If you have an appetite for fun, then the Disney California Adventure Food and Wine Festival is the place to be. March 2nd through April 12th, only at the Disneyland Resort. Enjoy deliciously fresh food, California wines, craft beers, specialty cocktails, live music, and more. All served up with a dash of Disney magic. Get more details at disneyland.com/foodandwine.